Blog Talk Radio.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child. But the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Well, what's happening? James Fosick here, Conservative's Perspective. Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. That's where you're going to go. And you're going to look for the Patriot Nation Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com, of course. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we're here doing it. Whatever. And honestly, you know what? I say this every week, every show, at least the live shows anyway, on the weekends. We have a recorded version too of A Conservative's Perspective that's on the Talk America Radio Network, talkamericaradio.us. And you go there, they have a couple audio streams. They have the Liberty and the Justice stream, ACP, heard various times throughout the day and the week there as well. Contemplating a third show. Why? I have no life. That's why. No, we are thinking about it. I don't know. Haven't really made up my mind yet. I've also been kicking around the idea of a video component to one of these programs, but we're not exactly sure where that is as well. We're going to be clip heavy. Actually, we're not going to be clip heavy, but the some of the clips are long. New Zealand. Some wing nut with a gun, some socialist environmental whack job dude that loved communist China shot the living daylights out of a mosque in New Zealand, and everybody lost their minds about it. It's been all over the news. Everybody that was talking about it tried to find some way to blame Donald Trump and the rest of us Trump supporters for this, even though the dude says, I really like Red China. I think those guys have a system that's working and working good. I, that's that's the way for me. But somehow, Donald Trump inspired this dude, apparently because he's white, a wingnut. A terrorist? Yeah, it's an act of terror. No question of it. But, he's a left-wing nut. He's a socialist. He's a communist. But because he's a white dude with a gun, we're going to forget all about all that other stuff that he listed in his bag of donuts manifesto. And we're gonna blame Trump. We're going to blame that orange-haired SOB Trump for this and all his SOB Trump supporters out there. So that's us. I really don't have anything to say about it. When 75% of all religious persecution on the planet is targeted towards Christians, no, I'm not going to get too worked up about it. And when I look at the thousands of Islamic terrorist attacks since 9/11, I'm going to get even less worked up about it. Is it a tragedy? Absolutely. Anytime somebody does this, yeah. And it's ideological extremism. It's left-wing, progressive, communist, Islamophobic, left-wing extremism at its finest. Excuse me. And like I said, with 75% of the world's religious persecution being targeted, being loaded up and fired at Christians, nah, it's not a big deal to me. Paul Joseph Watson has a really good commentary on this, and you see him on Facebook, you see him on Twitter, or you see him on YouTube. He's a pretty savvy conservative political commentator. And let me find that. There's M's. There's some N's. New Zealand. Crikey. All right. Paul Joseph Watson. I picked this up this morning or yesterday, one of the two, at frontpagemag.com. This is some great stuff.
The New Zealand mosque attack was one of the most horrendous atrocities in modern history, and the sick ideology behind it cannot be condemned enough. I encourage everyone to donate to the victims' families via the link below. But what was also disgusting was the regressive left's rush to exploit the tragedy to demonize people who had nothing whatsoever to do with the attack. Literally doing exactly what the terrorist wanted them to do, as he outlined in his own manifesto. They used the attack to create more division and hatred in society, to pour gasoline on the culture war. They're making lists of people who they openly demand be, quote, removed from society, like some kind of Maoist or fascist purge. Left-wing journalists calling for every 4chan member to be treated as a terrorist, which is like saying that everyone who attended the same mosque as the Manchester suicide bomber should be treated as a terrorist. No, that's fascistic and authoritarian. Newspapers like the Daily Record asserting that the terrorist received, quote, guidance from me, a completely libelous and damaging claim backed up by no evidence whatsoever. Websites like Zero Hedge are being completely censored merely for covering the story. Candace Owens being blamed for the attack when the terrorist mention of her was clearly a sick joke intended to frame her, because the racist alt-right absolutely despises mainstream black conservatives like Candace Owens, a nuance that the media consistently refuses to acknowledge. As Majid Nawaz, a Muslim reformist, points out, the regressive left, allied with Islamists, are exploiting Muslim bloodshed in New Zealand to settle scores with their political opponents and to grind their ideological axes. It is disgusting, it is dishonest, and it is disingenuous. The purge has begun. But isn't it a strange coincidence that the left only cares about mosques and churches being attacked when they can milk those atrocities to silence people's free speech? In Nigeria, more than 120 Christians have been gunned down or killed with machetes over the past 3 weeks by Islamic jihadists. Where's the outrage from the same leftists who rushed to exploit the Christchurch massacre? Where's the media coverage? There's barely been any. The New York Times, Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, LA Times, none of them even mentioned it. CNN didn't even report on it. 12 entire Christian villages in central Nigeria were wiped out last June. Over 200 dead. No one cared. Islamic extremists bombed a Roman Catholic cathedral on the Philippine island of Jolo, killing 20 people and injuring dozens of others. No one cared. Christians worldwide are the most persecuted, killed, and ethnically cleansed religious group on the planet. And no one cares. When Islamic terrorists attack Shiite mosques in the Middle East, often killing people in numbers even greater than the New Zealand tragedy, no one cares. It's barely a headline for a few hours, and then everyone forgets about it. They only pretend to care when they can exploit the tragedy for their own agenda. And it's sick. Then you have tweets like this, which try to make everything into some kind of grisly competition to score oppression points by completely ignoring the industrial slaughter of innocents by Islamic jihadists. So far in 2019, there have been 453 Islamic terror attacks in which 1,956 people have been murdered. 4,305 Christians were murdered by Muslim extremists because of their faith. In 2018 alone, a Christian living in a majority Muslim country is 143 times more likely to be killed by a Muslim for being a Christian for being what he is. A Frenchman is 10 times more likely to be murdered by a Muslim than a Muslim being killed by a non-Muslim terrorist anywhere in the Western world. If you want to turn this into some kind of sick numbers game, you're going to lose. The fact remains, engaging in legitimate debate about the impact of mass migration and falling fertility rates doesn't make you complicit in terrorist attacks. Just as when Islamic terrorists cite the Quran before their rampages, doesn't mean that every Muslim who reads the Quran is complicit in those attacks. Islamic terrorists cite foreign interventionist wars as justification for their attacks. That doesn't mean Muslims who engage in legitimate criticism of foreign interventionist wars are complicit in those attacks. The shooter said he was an eco-fascist who loved communist China. Does that mean environmentalists or members of the Chinese government are complicit? No! After every Islamic terror attack, the left repeats the same mantra. Not all Muslims. Islam is a religion of peace. They go out of their way to emphasize the immorality of collectively demonizing a whole group of people. Yet what's the first thing they do when there's a right-wing terror attack? They collectively demonize a whole group of people. Regressive left, jihadist terror attack? Don't name it Islamism, don't talk about the ideology, understand grievances and hug a Muslim. Also regressive left, New Zealand far-right terror attack? Blame pregnant Chelsea Clinton, compile hit lists of individuals and ban right-wing pundits. Listen, I know the temptation is always there to use guilt by association to smear your political adversaries. I know because I used to do it myself, and then I stopped because I realized it was a zero-sum game. I realized it was disingenuous and callous. I'm not going to cite the terror attack in Utrecht today to collectively demonize anyone apart from the individual lunatic responsible. But the left will never stop doing that. And that's not because they genuinely care about Muslims or other religious minorities. They don't. Their complete boredom and silence in the face of mosque attacks in the Middle East, church attacks in the Middle East, and attacks on Christians proves that. They only care about one thing. Power. Obtaining power by silencing their enemies. And while claiming they have the moral high ground, that's exactly what they'll continue to do. You don't have the moral high ground. And how dare the media blame people like me, the same media that lobbied for disastrous interventions in Iraq, Libya, Syria, that cost hundreds of thousands of innocent Muslim lives. Interventions that caused the international migrant crisis. Interventions that I opposed in defense of Muslims living in those countries at every turn. Right-wing terrorism is disgusting. Islamic terrorism is disgusting. Both are massive problems. But what's also disgusting is your frenzied obsession with exploiting tragedy to further your own fascist political agenda every single time.
Wow. What do you say about that? That was trivia. Paul Joseph Watson, of course, talking about the New Zealand mosque shooting that happened over the weekend. nothing to add to that. Nothing to add to that. It's overwhelming when we look at the like I said, just the number of attacks. We could look at the number of attacks here in the United States since 9/11. We could look at the number of terror attacks all over the world. It's massive. I had it pulled up, but this computer's digestive system is kind of delicate, and if we juggle too many things, I'm afraid I might drop the show. So, you know, we'll be cool with that. But and he's absolutely right. They're both horrible things, no question. And you know, the extremism and violence on either side for that. But it is the first thing that they do. The left, the media. It's always the first thing they do. They never stop doing it. It's all they do. And very little of it is organic. Very little of it's organic. I'm still here, not dead air. I'm just not real sure which direction to go. Now, listen, well, you know, since we talked last week, Friday, the president vetoed the congressional resolution to kill the border emergency. They don't have the votes to override the veto. But they're going to make noise. And that's about all it's going to be. So much stuff has happened. We're expecting the big buzz over the next couple of weeks, and we'll see if that's the case, is going to be, of course, special counsel Robert Mueller's report. It's supposed to be released. We're not sure when, but you know, and so much of this stuff is just, you know, it's just theatrics. It's you know, they're waiting, and they're, you know, we remember how long we waited before the you know, they said, well, end of February, the Inspector General report's going to come out, and then maybe sometime in March, and just forever. This stuff takes forever, and they play it out. But the tea leaves say that the time is winding up on the investigation, and that Mueller's going to have this thing. He's going to have it out here in a
Bueller.
No, Mueller, but you get the idea. And it's supposed to come out. And another indicator that it's going to be happening, and it's not really, it's not anything that the Democrats have been hoping for and praying for. It's going to be kind of anticlimactic. They've been floating that line for a couple of weeks now, trying to get people used to that idea. And the reason they want folks to get used to that idea is because there's not going to be a whole lot there. And in addition to there not being a whole lot there, and there isn't, we have found out through testimony that took place, most of it last year, but we have found out through testimony that's been released by Georgia Representative Doug Collins. And we have a long clip from Representative Collins. But the things we talked about last week with Bruce Orr telling the FBI after he gave them the Christopher Steele dossier, hey, guys, none of this stuff's verified, okay? And it comes from these guys that kind of, you know, they work with the DNC, and my wife works there too, and it's just kind of sketchy. I'm not sure about it. And the FBI goes, thanks, Bruce, and then immediately go to the FISA court, sell the FISA judge on the surveillance of Carter Page. All right, you guys don't know this. Well, Representative Collins last week released, he's been releasing transcripts. He's been making them public. He's been making public the transcripts of Lisa Page's testimony. Most recently, Bruce and Nellie Orr. And he was on, I think he was on with Maria Bartiromo on Fox News. Have you seen the latest on Fox? Donna Brazile is going to Fox. Yeah, have you heard this? Has been hired by Fox News as a commenter. Go figure. But back to this. Maria Bartiromo is one of the last of a dying breed. Don't expect, now that Jeanine Pirro is gone, and Jeanine Pirro, I think, is probably gone for good, just like Andrew Napolitano was, just like O'Reilly, just like all the guys that they're silencing and turning left at Fox News. But Representative Collins was on with Maria Bartiromo, I think it was this weekend. Let me see if I can find that clip now. Okay, this is a long one again, guys. I've got to apologize, but he sets up exactly what's going on. So we're finding out, in addition to the fact that with the Mueller report, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. They're not going to find the collusion that they've sworn up and down was there all this time. And it's going to be deflating. But in addition to that, we're also going to see all the people and all the things that were done by the deep state, by these crooks, who after they rigged the DNC and rigged the primary, were going to try and rig the general election. But Donald Trump won anyway. And all those people have been, you know, they've been hauled out in front of Congress, and they've been interrogated and questioned and examined and under oath, and now Representative Collins is letting this stuff go. So this is from, I think, Sunday, Doug Collins on Maria Bartiromo's show on Fox News.
Trump and Hillary Clinton's emails during the 2016 presidential election. The third and most recent transcript comes from former FBI agent Peter Strzok's closed-door testimony before Congress from June of last year. It follows transcripts of testimony from former FBI attorney Lisa Page and Justice Department official Bruce Orr. Joining me right now is the top Republican on that committee who made those transcripts public, Georgia Congressman Doug Collins. Congressman, it's good to have you on the program this morning. Thanks very much for joining us.
Glad to be here, Maria. It's good to see you.
And in looking at these transcripts, it's pretty clear of an issue that our viewers know very well, and our viewers have followed this for upwards of a year and a half, and they know from the beginning that there was no collusion and that these transcripts show an incredible amount of bias. Let's talk about some of the transcripts that you released. Peter Strzok's hatred of Donald Trump influenced the investigation and evidence against Donald Trump. This was John Ratcliffe interviewing Peter Strzok, and this was after the text that said, Lisa Page says to him, he's not going to win, right? No, we'll stop him. And after that, Ratcliffe says, did Peter Strzok's hatred of Donald Trump influence the investigations and evidence against Donald Trump? Guess we'll never know, because he was never asked by the special counsel if, in fact, his hatred of Donald Trump influenced the way he handled this investigation, correct?
I think what we got to do is look at this. Is you're going to know because you can look at the proof, of, and that's why we're laying out the transcripts as we have. Peter Strzok was a man who thought he was untouchable. He became a hero in his mind's eye, and thinking that he was going to be able to control, and sometimes maybe showing off for his mistress at the time, Lisa Page, let's never forget that, but also in his own role to grow up in the department. Peter Strzok was central going back to the email investigation, into the Russia investigation, into what became the Mueller investigation. So what we're seeing here is, yes, we see the bias. The transcripts reveal the bias. And when we see that Mr. Mueller actually got rid of him based on, you know, his actions and those texts. So I think when we look at this together, we get a picture of someone who was brought up or allowed to grow, if you would, under the Department of Justice under President Obama, in which politics became the foremost word, not justice.
Yeah, I understand. So in other words, they were very heavy-handed with the investigation into Donald Trump on flimsy evidence, and yet they were very light on the investigation of Hillary Clinton. Another tweet that your colleague John Ratcliffe put out was after he interviewed Lisa Page, and you released this transcript as well. And he says, Ratcliffe writes, Lisa Page just confirmed to me under oath that the FBI was ordered by the Obama DOJ not to consider charging Hillary Clinton for gross negligence in the handling of classified information. Walk us through this tweet. So they all thought Hillary Clinton was guilty, but they were told from the DOJ, don't even think about it.
This is what there was two things that really came out of this, and I think one of the things was we just spoke about, and that was seemed to be of that corrupt triumvirate of Page, McCabe, and Strzok. Strzok seemed to stand out as his very aggressive nature on what he was thought about the president and his political bent. The second thing that really came out from this Lisa Page was this time, as I said, and I put out another tweet the other day, it says Loretta Lynch has some explaining to do, because what we have seen now is that beforehand she was giving, she not only told Mr. Comey that this was not an investigation to consider it a matter, which is an interesting way of putting it, but also now we're seeing from Lisa Page's own testimony that the Department of Justice, which she headed, was saying gross negligence is not the standard that's going to be used here. They began to import what's called intent, which is not part of the law. So really from the early on, from April, May, and we know from May when Mr. Comey started writing, or the group together came together and they were going to look at gross negligence, but then began to write an exoneration of Ms. Clinton long before they ever even interviewed her. So we know this was coming from the top. So we now have a pattern here. Look at the pattern. You have Department of Justice and FBI on their own agenda with a political bent, hoping for Ms. Clinton to become president. That's sort of the takeaway over these first three transcripts.
And this was way before Loretta Lynch, then the AG, had a meeting on the tarmac with Bill Clinton just a few days before Hillary had her interview with the FBI, right? This was even before that.
Oh, very much so, Maria. We look at this. That was closer to the time when she said, I won't be a part of the prosecutorial decision, which all of a sudden, you know, in many ways has become evident now, gave James Comey what he believed was his Superman cape to go do whatever he wanted to do. But she was already, this was already in the works. Lisa Page transcripts confirmed this. This is why we release these in the way we're releasing them, so that people can begin to see what's happening here. We were in this investigation. Democrats and others were saying, why are you going back? Why are you doing this? You know, they made fun of the investigation the whole time. Well, now they've got a problem. I believe Mr. Mueller's report is going to come back and show that there was no collusion, which, by the way, is not a crime, but there's no collusion, nothing with the Trump administration, what they're going to find in the president himself. But what they are going to have to deal with now is the reality of influence and collusion among DOJ and FBI employees in an email investigation which was handled badly, that moved into a Russia investigation that was handled even worse, and then into a Mueller investigation. So these are the kind of things that the American people deserve to see, and that's why we're putting them out.
Now, Jim Baker was the key lawyer for the FBI. You've got transcripts on him as well. He had a closed-door meeting, and my sources say that in one of his meetings, he admitted that he wanted to charge HRC. He thought Hillary Clinton was should be convicted of gross negligence. Now, are you going to be releasing that transcript soon?
There'll be more transcripts released. Baker will be one that we're looking at releasing. And yes, there has been some leaked information that Mr. Baker actually had that exactly what you talked about. This is why this is important, Maria, and I don't want any of the folks watching today to forget this. This is a pattern. This is not something that randomly happened. I'm tired of, you know, really the mainstream media saying the FBI was investigating Ms. Clinton. No, there was a group that was investigating and told that they couldn't do their job. Remember, she was not even interviewed till late after they had already started discussion with the DOJ officials, probably including the attorney general. She headed it, saying that we can't charge gross negligence. So they already knew the outcome, but went through the process. And Lisa Page's transcripts also reveal the fact that this was, you know, sort of unusual. We also saw that with Strzok. We've heard it with many of these. That why would they interview a witness, Ms. Clinton at the time, with key witnesses or fact witnesses in the room who had been granted immunity?
Yeah.
This just goes back to show the two layers of justice. There was a layer for Ms. Clinton, and then there was a level for Mr. Trump. They were not equal, and people understand it, whether you're Republican
right.
or Democrat or independent or don't care.
Sure,
you can't have a Department of Justice
my
like this.
My audience wants to know what happens now. I mean, you know, Jerry Nadler has subpoena power,
great
and
question.
He's the chairman of your committee. So, and Congressman, we just talked about the malfeasance going on with this cabal of people at the top of the FBI and the DOJ. Will we see accountability?
I believe we can, and I think that's in the new attorney general. He has been, through his confirmation hearings, what he said when asked questions about this from Senator Graham, he said that he was willing to look into these issues that many of us have been talking about, which we got nothing on before
so
under
we'll
the previous attorney general or anything else.
Will we see prosecutions?
My hope is if there's wrongdoing, that it will be prosecuted, because if it's simply not prosecuted, I mean, look, two of the guys, McCabe and others, have been fired were fired. They were also under indictment. We understand these kind of things going on, so hopefully we'll see this actually prosecuted out.
So you were among those who voted for transparency with the Mueller report. As I understand it, the Mueller report will be out within the next 2 weeks. What was that 422-0 vote all about?
It was a political stunt by the Democrats who thought that they could divide Republicans into voting no upon it, because at the end of the day, after I looked at it when they dropped it, we looked at it, they said this is nothing but simply a first-year law student's restatement of what the regulations say that Mr. Barr is going to have to do. This is the sad part we're at right now, Maria. They have no agenda. They have nothing that they can actually put on the floor, so they wasted an entire week of the American taxpayers' dollar to actually put a report on the floor that said nothing, basically except the same thing the regulations say that Mr. Barr needs to do. So we just called their bluff and just said, fine, we can vote for this because this is exactly what Bill Barr said he's going to do. Why are we wasting the American people's time?
So you have a structure in place. We have a structure in place, whereas under the rules, the Attorney General sees the report from the special counsel and then gives it to the chairman of the Judiciary Committee on the House side and the Senate side, so that every congressman does not have, it's like, I mean, you're giving it to every congressman and every senator. That's basically like giving it to the New York Times, right? I mean, if somebody is not charged with something, the police don't say, hey, we're not charging you, but guess what? There's all this other stuff that we were looking at. Maybe there's this fraud. Maybe there's that fraud. Doesn't this open a can of worms for the president?
No, it doesn't. I think what we got to understand here, and I think what we understand is, let's go back exactly what has to happen. Mueller will present some kind of report. All the paperwork says is it could be a report on what his prosecutions were and what his declinations were, the ones he declined to prosecute. That is given to Bill Barr. Bill Barr at that point, then he makes what's called an explanation to basically four people that have to be notified. It doesn't say that we're the only ones or at the same time have to be notified, but we have to be notified. So it could be released to the public as long as we are notified. And I think what we have to look at is what he said in his confirmation hearings, that he wants to release as much as possible to make sure that this gets behind us and we move forward.
Right.
We know, and you know, as you said earlier, that there's not going to be collusion here. This is where it's going to be put it very hard for the Democrats. So all this was, and don't be fooled by this, this was simply a stunt because they thought they could divide Republicans to make, quote, us look bad as not being transparent. I have no problem being transparent when what we see is coming forward,
right.
And it's within the regulation itself. So this was nothing more than a political stunt.
Well, Adam Schiff continues to say he has more than circumstantial evidence that there was collusion. We'll see what he says after this drops. Is the Mueller report going to come out within the next 2 weeks, do you think? And what are you going to do about the fact that you don't have subpoena power? Jerry Nadler's in charge. He's going to bring down for questioning who he wants. So where are all these investigations going, Congressman?
Well, I think first thing is this. Adam Schiff is the new Joe McCarthy from the Senate. He has always said, oh, I've got this evidence of collusion. We have it all here. Yet he never shows it. In fact, he actually has to back up. When we released the Bruce Orr transcript, it showed his own explanation of when some of this actually was dropped was wrong. It was in August. It was not after the election. Adam Schiff is just one, you know, again, process away from spinning his own yarn. Jerry Nadler has subpoena power. He sent out 81 letters recently asking for information ranging on a wide topic. You almost know that they're concerned about Mueller not having what they want because only 30 of these letters actually had anything to do with Russia. when we come to this part, it's going to be very obvious that Mr. Nadler and others are responding to their base. They're responding to the pressures of their base who want to impeach the president and have wanted to since November of 2016. You're seeing a politically motivated agenda to impeach the president or to make the president look bad for the 2020 elections. And we're going to be fighting against this. We're going to be fighting the overreach. Right. We're going to be fighting to do what.
Whoops. Okay, there you go. Representative Doug Collins. Again, the list of all the people who were in on this deal is going to be huge across all the upper echelons of government. It's going to be monstrous. We're down at the bottom now. We're going to take a break. We will be back. We're going to touch some more on some stuff out of the Mueller report. And more importantly, the Steele dossier, when we come back with more of a conservative perspective after this brief musical interlude.
Come with me to Alabama. Let's go see my dear old mammy. She's frying eggs and broiling hammy. That's what I like about the South. Now there you can make no mistake. Where those nerves are never shaky. Ought to taste a layer cakey. That's what I like about the South. She's got baked ribs and candied yams. Those sugar-cured Virginia hams. Basement full of those berry jams. And that's what I like about the South. Hot corn bread and black-eyed peas. You can eat as much as you please. Cause it's never out of season. That's what I like about the South. Don't take one. Have two. They're dark brown and chocolate too. Suits me, they must suit you, cause that's what I like about the South. Way down where the cane grows tall, down where they say you all walk on in with that southern drawl, cause that's what I like about the South. Down where they have those pretty queens keep a dreaming, those dreamy dreams, let's sip that absinthe in New Orleans. That's what I like about the South. Old Bob with all the news, got the box back coat and the button shoes, but he's all caught up with his union dues, and that's what I like about the South. Here come old Roy down the street, who can't you hear those scuffling feet? He would rather sleep than eat, and that's what I like about the South. Every time I pass your door, you act like you don't want me no more. Why don't you shake your head and sigh, and I'll go walking right on by. Gone on and on and on. Honey, when you tell me that you love me, then how come you close your eyes? Did I tell you about the place called Do-I-Diddy? It ain't no town and it ain't no city. It's just awful small, but awful pretty with Do-I-Diddy. Didn't come here to criticize. I'm not here to sympathize. But don't call me those no good lies, cause a lying gal I do despise. You love me like I love you. Send me 50 PDQ. Rose are red and violets are pink. I'm gonna get old 50, I don't think. She's got backbones and butter beans, ham hocks and turnip greens. You and me in New Orleans. And that's what I like about the South.
That pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packin' mama, lay that pistol down. Oh, drinking beer in a cabaret, was I having fun? Until one night she caught me right, now I'm on the run.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packin' mama, lay that pistol down. Oh, I see you every night, Bing, and I'll woo you every day. I'll be your regular mama, and I'll put that gun away.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packin' mama, lay the thing down before it goes off and hurts somebody. Oh, she kicked out my windshield and she hit me over the head. She cussed and cried and said I'd lied and she wished that I was dead.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing,
mama laid that pistol down with three tough gals. From deep down Texas way, we got no pals. They don't like the way we play. We're a rough, rootin', tootin', shootin' trio, but you'll see my sister Cleo. She's a terror, make no error, but there ain't no life to fair. Is what we tell her.
Lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down. Pistol back in mama. Lay that pistol down.
James Bostic here, Conservatives Perspective. Couldn't find the article, so we had to go to an extra song, which incidentally, that was Dick Dale. Dick Dale and the Wailers, and he passed away Sunday at the age of 81. That was Missouri Lou, and that was something that he did in 1964, long, long time ago. So you just hang 10 all the way through eternity, Dick. James Bostic here, ACP. You know, we were talking about the depth of the whole Hydra organization that they put in place. And Loretta Lynch was Attorney General under, Obama. Yeah, that's the guy. She was the attorney general under Barack Obama the last year that Barack Obama was in office. And throughout the time that Donald Trump was, you know, starting his campaign for the presidency. Barack Obama was president when Loretta Lynch was attorney general. And the reason I'm saying that the way I'm saying it, I guarantee you, as I sit here in front of this microphone before you this evening, left shoulder comfortably numb. By the way, this show made possible once again by the good makers of Icy Hot, no mess roll-on applicator, now with lidocaine. Icy Hot soothes those jangled nerves. Where was I? Oh, and there wasn't a thing, not one single thing that Loretta Lynch did that the President of the United States, Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama Jr. III, trademark registered patent pending, did not know about or approve or disapprove of. What's that mean? Well, what that means is just what I said. Whatever Loretta Lynch was doing, Barack Obama knew about. And whatever those things were that Loretta Lynch did not know, or did not do, rather, we'll never know about, because Barack Obama did not approve of them to be done. Barack Obama did not find out after the fact that Bill Clinton met for 40 minutes on Loretta Lynch's jet out there in Phoenix, Arizona, on the tarmac. No. He didn't find out about that on the news. Like he said, he found out about everything. If you know, you ever, anytime something huge happened, yeah, I saw that in the paper this morning. We're looking into that. That was pretty interesting stuff. Saw that on the news. I think it was Friday before I went golfing. Yeah, we're checking that out. So, yeah, he knew what was going on. Now, here's the thing. Oh, and while I'm thinking about it, let me run on to this, too. Again, this stuff that we're talking about with Lisa Page, who last year testified along with all, you know, with Bruce and Nellie Orr, and she's saying, you know, the Department of Justice is saying, you know, go ahead and conduct your investigation, but you're not going to find anything, get me? And make it look like you're not going to find anything. As a matter of fact, make it look like there was nothing there. And by God, that's what they did. The Justice Department told the FBI, no, slow your roll on that whole Hillary Clinton thing. Now, who was at the Justice Department at that time? Loretta Lynch. And who was president during Loretta Lynch's tenure as Attorney General? Barack Obama. All right. Let's get back to Christopher Steele. Last year, Steele gave a deposition in a defamation trial that he's involved with, and it has to do with his dossier. Well, the judge, excuse me, in that trial released certain portions of that deposition, and according to the deposition transcripts that were released, get this, Now remember, Christopher Steele is the guy who took the information that he got from Nellie Orr, who got conceivably from someone in the intelligence community, Clapper, Brennan, one of those types, and coupled with some stuff that came out of the Clinton campaign and the Democrat National Committee, he put together the alleged dossier that is the source of all this rhubarb. Now, when he was being deposed, and he's talking about this dossier, Steele said, and again, this is testimony from a year ago, just now being released, just like Bruce and Nellie Orr that we talked about last week, just like Lisa Page that we've talked about. Last year, when he was testifying in this, Steele said that he used a 2009 report that he found on a website that was sponsored, that was hosted by CNN. It was called CNN's I Report. Internet, get it? And then he said that he wasn't aware that submissions to that site are posted by members of the public and they're not checked for accuracy. A web archive from July 29, 2009 shows that CNN described the site in this manner. iReport.com is a user-generated site. That means the stories submitted by users are not edited, fact-checked, or screened before they post. Now, based on information that this disgruntled former MI6 guy who hated Donald Trump, this guy cherry picks a CNN fan crank site, finds what he wants, puts it together into this dossier, gives it to Bruce Orr. Bruce Orr gives it to the FBI. We've already talked about what Bruce and the FBI said. The FBI, in turn, was able to obtain several FISA warrants based on this dossier. Now, was that FISA judge told that some of the information that they were using as justification for this warrant was from an internet crackpot? The lawyers pressed him on this a little bit further. Do you understand that CNN I reports are or were nothing more than any random individual's assertions on the internet? With a straight face, okay, this guy's MI6. He's supposed to know his way around the internet. He's supposed to know simple things like this. No, I obviously presume that if it is on a CNN site, that it has some kind of CNN status, albeit that it may be an independent person posting on the site. Yeah. God. So then they ask him, you know, Chris, when you were putting together this stuff, buddy, and you went to the CNN I report site and you picked up this stuff that you got, how exactly we're wondering, Chris, what was your methodology here, buddy? And Steele says, well, this is what we would call an open source search, which Steele defined as where you go to the internet and you access material that is available on the internet that is of relevance or reference to the issue at hand or the person under consideration. So you're casting this big net. Steele said his dossier contained raw intelligence that he admitted could contain untrue or even deliberately false information. Now, the FBI knew about this. The FBI knew that this was product, that this was manufactured. I know I got to wrap it up all the time because they were told by Bruce Orr. They went ahead with it anyway. To this day, the FBI has refused to verify the authenticity of the information in that dossier to this day. Now, a lot of people still take this dossier and this product, as I've been calling it for a long time, as a gospel, as though it were relevant. But it isn't. It was a smear job paid for by the Democrats that Christopher Steele passed on to a former aide, to John McCain, who gave it to BuzzFeed, who put it on, who put it up. They posted it. And it will come back. This may be the nail, all for the want of a nail. You know that story? What gave away the Watergate burglars the night that they got caught and unraveled the Nixon presidency had to do with some duct tape placed on the locking mechanism of a basement door in the Watergate hotel garage. That way the door wouldn't shut, it wouldn't latch, and the burglars could get in. That was their means of entrance. That's how they were found. A security guard paying attention saw it, knew what this meant, called the cops, and then at some point later that night, they flushed the burglars out after they'd gone through the Democrat National Committee headquarters. That's what this dossier will be in unraveling this. There are people who say coup attempt, and I think they're right. And it's an ongoing coup attempt. They're not finished yet, but they don't have any other cards to play out but this. And the American people are wise to them. And that's it. That's all the time we got. Penelope just came on to me. We got a minute and a half. ACP is here live Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We are recorded at talkamericaradio.us. on the Liberty and Justice streams, various times throughout the day and the week, you can hear ACP there. We got pages, God, we got pages. Cowboy Logic, Restoring America Forum, good friends Don Newen, Donna Fiducia there. ACP's original page, A Conservative Perspective, thank you. ACP's original page, A Conservative Perspective, Talk America Radio, West Virginia, Talk America Radio, Texas. You want to check those out, too. That's all the time we got. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back here on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. God bless America. God bless you. We'll see you then.